Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Asher Sales Sense, brought to you by Asher Strategies, the only global sales training company integrating leading sales methodologies and the latest neuroscience studies into a simple and repeatable 10-step process for your sales success and everyone who tries it. With our host, John Asher himself, the founder and CEO of Asher Strategies, and Kyla O'Connell, senior partner and master sales facilitator at Asher Strategy. Welcome, guys.
Kyla is the vice president. Thank you, Paul. Good afternoon, all. Welcome to the initial version of our Asher radio show, Asher Sales Sense. Paul will be our announcer for the show. Our guest today is my co-host, Kyla O'Connell, and the subject of her chat is going to be how to boost your sales career by adopting the mindset of an elite salesperson. During the program, we'll discuss what Kyla has learned training and coaching people globally. Kyla is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Asher and our Senior Sales Trainer and Coach. She's also an outstanding speaker at Visage Worldwide and an image consultant with the Professional Women's Network. Welcome, Kyla.
Thank you, John. It's great to be on this today.
Kyla, let's just start off with the basics. How did you get into the business of sales? What was your first experience in this?
Well, I actually studied public relations and advertising in college and was offered a couple of positions in PR firms around the Baltimore area and just didn't really think that I could make the money doing that kind of work right out of college. So I started looking at interviewing different recruiters, and they gave me a personality assessment. And the recruiter asked me if I had ever considered a career in professional sales, and I apparently have a high aptitude for it. And I said, no, I didn't. And it was the late 90s, and everybody was doing really well selling hardware and software and services, IT services. And so I gave it a shot. And the real drive, though, was I wanted to simply make more money. And I thought, if I have a natural aptitude for it, why not give it a shot? So that's how I got started.
That sounds like a reasonable way to go, and especially back then when, as you said, with all the hardware sales going on and selling to technical guys, CIOs, and that sort of thing. Were there any areas where you initially struggled with sales?
Oh, of course. I mean, everybody does initially until they learn how to channel their natural strengths and leverage those strengths, and then also pair it with best practice selling skills. The natural aptitude or having that natural talent for any kind of position gets you a long way. Some of my natural strengths were I just really love talking to people. So in sales, that goes a long way. And I like them to want to talk to me and like me and have a good impression with me. So I worked really hard for that initially and still do, but that all of that came natural to me. And then once I started learning the techniques and the actual selling skills, well, then that was where any of my struggles really started to go away. So because I could marry the natural talent with the selling skills.
So it sounds like if you're kind of naturally a big talker type and you were selling to IT guys, was that cause any struggles?
Oh, that was certainly my first struggle. No, it was a little bit challenging for sure. I didn't realize the foundations of personality types and that there are four different types. Of course, we all intuitively know that there are quieter people and talkative people, but I didn't know that my personality could really turn off somebody who is more reserved, more quiet, more patient, more cautious. And that was what I started to notice when I was selling into the IT services industry, that I was selling to a lot of reflective thinkers. I know that term now. I didn't know it back then. I'm an expressive communicator. And those are polar opposites to one another. So I realized later... At your training, John, I realized later why that was a struggle for me. So I ended up leaving IT because of it. I just found that it was a bit of a struggle to build relationships with people who have different personalities. I didn't have the skills yet that I have today to make that transition. So I went into hospitality and worked in the golf industry for about 3 to 5 years. It was golf for 3 years, and then we morphed into private clubs, resorts, that kind of thing. And that's where I started hitting my stride in sales. I really started to see different personalities in my clients. I was able to really get my arms around the product and the services we provided, which was key, and was able to hit significant milestones very quickly there. So that was a lot of fun.
Actually, at the end of that, where we first met, wasn't it?
It was. It was. So did golf for a while, sold out a struggling private club in the D.C. area. We sold it out in 6 months. And it was the first time that that private club actually hired a salesperson. Usually they were just using people that kind of grew up around the club, whether it was, you know, banquet staff or golf staff to sell these items. And the general manager took a different approach and said, I can teach golf and, you know, events to a salesperson, but I'm not having a lot of luck teaching sales to these people. So I came in there with a different approach, and we were able to sell out the weddings and the golf course memberships and the outings almost. I mean, it was just really a lot of fun. It actually got kind of funny because we sold so many memberships that the members were telling me to stop selling.
Golf course is getting too crowded, I guess.
Exactly. So after that golf experience, I really wanted to get the big corporate experience. So I went into hospitality working for Club Corp. And Club Corp is a very large hospitality organization. They own private clubs and resorts and golf courses. And I decided to take a different route and work out of a business club in D.C. because I knew, I must have had strong intuition here, but I knew if I took that position managing a membership of prominent D.C., Washington, D.C. professionals, that I would probably meet somebody that could help me in my career. And that's exactly what happened. So
that's
met you.
So when you really think about where you've come from now, and now as an elite salesperson, is it easy to get there? I mean, can anybody do it?
Well, first you have to have that natural talent. You have to naturally enjoy the things that are so imperative to be successful in sales. For example, you have to enjoy speaking with people. You have to enjoy the competitive drive that it takes to be successful. But the mindset is so important. I mean, some people have a lot of drive and they have a lot of talent for sales, but their mindset's a little screwed up. And what I mean really by having that mindset, a positive mindset around the whole paradigm of the client and salesperson relationship, that it's a journey to find the win-win together. And if you do, and you work hard for that, you know, journey throughout that journey, and you work hard and they respect you for it. And if it's there, great. It's a sale is, you know, happening. A solution is made and a relationship form. If you don't though, that's okay too. And the never appear desperate. And I think that's one of the rookie mistakes a lot of young salespeople make is they want to be successful. They have that competitive drive, but it can come across as aggressive or desperate. And that's the biggest mindset shift that elite salespeople have. They never come across desperate because they never are afraid and to go back to the basics, and they probably never really stop the basics, but they just know that put their whole heart into the beginning of a relationship. And if it works, great. Everybody's happy. If it doesn't, it's not the right fit. They don't panic. They just move on and go back to the building the pipeline, prospecting, always, you know, asking for referrals, all of the basics. And elite salespeople who never stop doing that, they automatically just never come across desperate. And that's something that I see in so many salespeople. And I try really hard to help them with that mindset.
Right. Along with that, what I've found is how important product knowledge is. If you can't come across to the customer as a real resource from a product knowledge standpoint, then it's pretty tough. And, you know, a lot of the latest studies show that, especially in technical industries, and the world's going more technical, that Buyers would much rather deal with a subject matter expert with deep, deep technical knowledge than a salesperson with average technical knowledge who they know is just trying to sell them something. Yeah, I mean, is that what you found also?
Absolutely, because with that high level of product knowledge, the respect factor is there. So it's, again, it's a journey together to see if the solution's the right one for them. It's a peer-to-peer kind of relationship versus, you know, feeling like they owe you something or that they're doing you a favor or anything like that. So that's a perfect example of a way to get to that mindset and to portray that confidence with the customer. Absolutely.
John and Kyla, it's date, and it's time to take a quick commercial break.
Just long enough to tell you that, well, something you may or may not know, over 200 correlation studies show that natural aptitude is the most significant factor in predicting sales success, really. Asher's Advanced Personality Questionnaire, the APQ as they call it, consistently identifies peak performers in outside sales, inside sales, sales management, customer support, 17 other business positions. They really can tell. They've got a way to do it and a formula to follow. If you want to learn more, go to AsherStrategies.com today to learn more or give them a call at 866-833-9941. That's Asher Strategies at 866-833-9941. All right, that being said, let's pick it back up and get the second half of our interview today.
Thank you. We're on the Asher Radio's Sense and Sales Sense, and we're talking to Kyle O'Connell, VP of Sales and Marketing in Asher. So, Kyle, thanks for sharing all that information about your career and what's important. Could you kind of summarize what, when you watch the lead salespeople, are there a handful of factors that are usually in alignment?
Certainly. This is what I love to teach people in our training courses and, of course, one-on-one coaching courses, and just getting them to work the five factors for sales success. You know, the elite salespeople have all five factors working on all cylinders. And those factors, first of all, of course, you've already mentioned it, John, is product knowledge. So the elite salespeople, they burn the midnight oil. They know every question that could come up about their product or service. They know the competitive landscape that they're selling in. So they really can be, like you mentioned, that subject matter expert. The second factor is this natural talent or natural aptitude for sales I've mentioned already today. And that's just given to us. We're either born with it or not. So the true elite salespeople have that natural aptitude for sales. The third factor is the selling skills. So you can, like I mentioned already, you can have someone who has a natural drive and interest to be successful and talk to people and interactive. But if they talk over the customer, then, you know, that's not going to produce great results. So they have to be taught the best practice selling skills of how to ask questions and listen and the closing principles and the whole aspect of the selling skills, from prospecting all the way to building long-lasting relationships. The fourth factor is motivation, and that can be a little tricky. As a sales trainer and coach, sometimes if I see a person who has high levels of product knowledge and a high aptitude for sales, and I know that they've had the training of the skills and they're struggling, I have to now dig a little deeper to find out if there's a motivation issue. And sometimes that motivation issues can be internally, you know, maybe there's a personal situation going on, or it could be external. It could be something that's going on at the organization that maybe they're not real comfortable with, a new owner, you know, different type of role. And so it's our job to really dig deep and try to find out what's affecting their motivation. And then, of course, the last factor are the processes, you know, not just the sales process, but also anything that really affects business growth, like a strong brand, you know, strong marketing channels, of course, the sales process. And then once the sales come in, making sure that we have strong account management processes that we can handle the things that are coming in so we don't fail by too much success. All those five factors working together is when we see that, we know we have an elite salesperson. And you know, I'll go into an organization oftentimes and I'm like, well, I need to know who your five factor people are. There's usually, you know, about 20% of their team is usually at that level, and we try to get the others there or hire new ones to get there.
Good, good, great description. So just to let the audience know, Kyle has now gone from being a lead salesperson to being one of the country's really best sales trainers with a terrific reputation. Is sales training easy? Can anybody do it? Or do you have any of the like keys to success for being a great trainer?
Well, I think it's like anything else. It does require to have, you know, a natural aptitude for it. And it requires a ton of studying and a ton of practice. It's interesting because I remember when I went to the first training at Asher and I sat in that training and I said, it was about 12 years ago at this point. And throughout the day, I said, I'm going to do this someday. And I just knew it. And it's such a gift when you get that calling, because when you know and you see something that you know and you wish you could do right away, it's something that it's you can't think about anything else. You can't think about doing anything else. And I remember I spoke to you. You probably don't remember this, John, but I spoke to you after that day, and I said, I really want to do this someday. And you chuckled at me and said, okay, are you ready to read about 150 books on sales? And I laughed it off that day, but you weren't kidding. So it took a lot of studying and then a lot of practice. And it was a little rough in the beginning, but I was determined to get the training that I needed to handle the room and different personalities that come at you and different challenges and questions and energy. You have to bring energy. You have to be entertaining. And you have to actually teach them something. So there's all kinds of training techniques involved as well. So it was a journey. And from that day until I became a trainer on my own was almost 5 years. So it really did take a long time. It comes natural to me, but it still took a lot of work, and a lot of practice.
Well, from my observations of your journey in the sales training, you know, you do those handful of things that all great trainers do. Number one, you have to explain to students new information, like all of our neuroscience stuff. Or you've got to show a skill they've already heard about, like listening, but new ways to be the perfect listener. Two, you've got to give personal stories that illustrate it, and it can't be stories about somebody else, not your own stories. Three, you've got to make it interactive with role-playing. Four, as you mentioned, you got to be an entertainer. And then five, you got to give them action items to take away and work on. To be really brilliant like you are in all five of those levels doesn't just come overnight.
No. And it's ongoing. You know, we, as trainers, we're always listening to these types of podcasts and learning new information, reading, researching. We're talking to each other about different techniques that have worked for us. And it's never ending. It's always learning.
So, Kyle, for you, what's as a sales trainer and with your terrific global reputation, what's the most rewarding for you about sales training?
I think the most rewarding part of being a sales trainer and coach is watching a salesperson whom I've trained and coached really take off. And I've had the wonderful opportunity to see that time and time again. And it's truly been just a joy to be a part of their process. I still get emails and LinkedIn messages and phone calls from people that I've trained and coached over the last 6-7 years, and they're just thriving, and nothing makes me happier than watching that success in others.
No, you're changing people a lot for the better. So anytime you can have a big impact on another person and their success in life, it's just it's what gets my heart thumping faster. And I know for you too.
Well, it's the ultimate, right? If you can, and it's not about yourself, about others. And of course, you know, I'm enjoying the process of growing myself as well. But you know, that's what I love most about it.
Great. So any parting thoughts or advice for the audience?
One of the biggest core things that you can do is just recognize your natural strengths and leverage them. You know, in the beginning for me, it was, I just love talking to people and pleasing people and leverage those natural strengths Manage your weaknesses through coaching. Don't be afraid to be self-reflective and get help and advice from people who may have strengths in areas where you're weak. Burn the midnight oil so your customers come to you for advice. They look to you for that trusted advisor. And then practice and practice and practice again, and never get too far away or think you're too good for the basics in sales. Because, you know, if you keep that going at a full momentum, you'll never have to chase any sales or ever feel desperate for anything to have to happen. And that changes the game for everybody.
John and Kyla, that's all the time we have for today. And for those of you listening, Kyla can be reached at AsherStrategies.com. Over to you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Asher Strategies right here on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.